You are listening to a bonus episode of the Her Money Matters podcast.
Welcome to the Her Money Matters podcast, the podcast to help you take control of your finances. Join your host, motivational money coach, Jen Hemphill, as she shares with you practical, simple money insights and real-life stories by women like you. Let's get to it.
Hey there, thanks so much for joining me. As you see, this is a not regularly scheduled episode. So what I've done here recently, I was at Podcast Movement in Chicago. So I had a conversation with three wonderful ladies, two of them which have already been guests. You will see who they are, you will hear who they are. And we just had really a candid conversation in the different areas of money. So I hope you enjoy it. And if you have not joined us in the Facebook group, please do so. The whole point in doing this podcast and this episode as well is to get you talking more about money, to get you more confident about money. So let's not delay. Let's go ahead and listen to this episode. Mind you, a little thing, this was done live, meaning in a conference where people were walking back and forth. So you will hear a background noise of people chattering. So it's a little different from what you're normally hearing, from what you normally hear. So enjoy it, and I will talk to you soon. So welcome, ladies. This is the first time I've had multiple guests on the show, and I'm excited. And we're live here at Podcast Movement. So I want to ask you, well, I want to first introduce you. I have here Jen Hatsang from the She Percolates podcast. I have Adrian Durison from the School of Self-Mastery. And I also have Jody Flynn from the Women Taking the Lead podcast. So if you just, Jen, starting with you, tell me a little bit about your podcast and a little bit about you.
Yeah. So again, I co-host the podcast She Percolates. So my co-host is Danielle. And we interview women each week on what their definition of success is. And the idea was just to show women that success looks different for everyone. And, you know, there's not one, you know, stereotypical societal definition. And so we do that. And then on Fridays, we have a coffee talk. So my co-host and I pick a topic and we chat about it for 20 to 30 minutes. And the idea is it's what you would either maybe over here at a coffee shop, or like what you would go, you know, what you'd be chatting with your girlfriends about. So sometimes it's life topics, sometimes it's business, sometimes it's a mix, sometimes it's fun. Like we did an episode solely on Taylor Swift. So stuff like that.
Love it. Love it. And Jen has been on the show before. So we'll put a link on that in the show, on the show notes. And Adrian, School of Self-Mastery, please tell us a little bit about that and about you.
Yeah, so I host a podcast called The School of Self-Mastery, and I do talk specifically to entrepreneurs mainly about success, as well as like how we become the best version of ourselves, which is through different habits with which, you know, may or may not be the same as other people's habits. But as long as we are working to become that best version of ourselves, I think that we're on track. So I have a topical episode every single week where I just kind of rant about things that might be helpful to entrepreneurs. And then I also interview experts who are just interesting humans on whatever it is that they are specifically experts on. So that's where the show is right now. And being at Podcast Movement, maybe some things will change. But that's where we're at now.
Wonderful. And you've also been on the show, and I'm about to put Jody in the spotlight because you haven't been on the show, so I hope you will be. I mean, of course you're not going to say no to me in front of me, but tell me a little bit about your podcast.
Mm-hmm. So my podcast is Women Taking the Lead, and the intention of my podcast is to inspire women to overcome self-doubt so they can lead with confidence, integrity, and a sense of humor. And I do that by interviewing other successful women who had their own journey to get there, their own mindsets and struggles that they had to overcome in order to get where they are. And these women act as virtual mentors for the women who are listening, because not everyone has resources in their own environment, women who they can access and who are willing to help them along their journey, they can listen into my podcast and hear about like what mindsets these women had to overcome and what practices they have in place now that keep them on track and the resources that they're using to become even more successful in their life. And then I also do some topic-based podcasts where it's just me talking into the microphone about the things that come up for my clients in my own business and the things that I hear a lot of women talk about, and we just kind of like cut to the chase and directly address those issues.
Wonderful. And I love the diversity here because you all do different things. So I want to talk more about your audience. And of course, I love talking about money. So what, like, let's start with you, Jen. What challenges does your audience face with money? What comes up over and over again?
Okay, so I feel like this is a little bit controversial, but like we discussed before we went live, like this is probably something we should talk about then. So
absolutely.
A big thing, I wouldn't maybe say it's a big thing, but something that we do see and we have heard a few times is that there's this, I don't know if struggle is the right word, but women have a hard time investing in their business because they have a hard time with their partner getting on board with like that money being spent for that and understanding that, you know, you have to spend money to make money. You have to invest in yourself and in your business. And it's, you know, you need to have money and time to make your business grow. And so we see that a lot. And it's something that can be hard to talk about because my husband is very supportive. And so like I can't relate to that. And so I don't know always the best thing to say or resources to give them. But that's something that is very hard for them.
Yeah, well, let's talk about that a little bit because I know my husband has been very supportive. Because, so like you, I can't relate that. But Adrian or Jody, if you can chime in, like, have you seen that with your audience or what's been your experience with that, hearing that?
Yeah, I mean, I've definitely experienced that, not myself, but in my audience as well, Jen. Like, I can totally relate to hearing that. And I think that, and this might be a controversial viewpoint, but I think that that stems from the lack of confidence from the woman being able to go to the partner, the husband, and saying, this is a decision that I've made for my business. I would love to have you on board with that financially, right? I think that you have to make that decision first as a business owner and then go to the partner and say, I want us to make this decision together. If it's, I totally like believe in the transparency between partners of finances. But as a CEO of my business, I am the decision maker, and I don't think that a lot of women go to their partner with that confidence. And so, of course, their partner is going to be like, well, if you're not really sure about this, then I'm going to keep you secure and safe as the man's role, right? Like, that's his, like, primal role and instinct is to be like, I want to keep you safe. It doesn't seem like you're too sure about this. No, right? And so I think that, like, as a woman, we need to be more confident in our decisions when we know that we're, like, passionate about our business, when we know that, like, this is what I need to invest in to grow, and go to the partner with the decision already made and look for support, not approval or permission.
Yeah.
I like that. And you touch up confidence, which I know you probably have a lot to talk about.
Bingo.
So let us have it here.
It's definitely ditto to all that. You know, it really stems from confidence and whether or not they've made the decision, because a lot of time it's not committing to it.
Yeah.
Creates that situation where you can waffle, change your mind, and you're not very convincing, because I'll have people approach me, you know, saying, oh, I want to talk to you about potentially getting coaching. And one thing I try to remember, because this has happened occasionally, is make sure your partner's on board before we have this conversation, because what would happen is we'd have the conversation and they'd be like, I want to do this. Now I have to go back and talk to my husband. And I was like, why is he not on board already?
Right.
You know, you weren't committed.
Right.
To, like, not just coaching, because it's not about coaching, it's what they wanted to change in their business. You weren't committed to that. Doesn't he already know? And it's not having made that decision, not having made that commitment that creates the lack of confidence sometimes, too. You know, so it's really, you know, and it also, like, as a woman, you have to feel like you deserve it.
Yes.
You know, that you're worth it, because you are going to make the money back. You are going to do good things with this investment. You have to believe that it is an investment and not just a debit from your household finances.
I like you said investment versus debit. I like that. And Adrian, so what do you see with your audience? Probably a little bit, you probably all see that. So is there anything else that stands out as a challenge?
I mean, I think that's a big one because of the core issue behind it, right? It's like about the belief in yourself to invest to get the support that you know you need. And I think there's a lot of lack of trust within people's selves to actually follow through and do the work, and so they don't invest. But I think ultimately what I see in my clients is they want to grow their incomes, right? They're potentially not in the best financial position, which is why I always talk about my debt story and how I paid off all my debt. I've never gotten into business debt, and a lot of people think that that's like the only way to do it or to run a business. And so I try to like openly share that with my people so that they understand there's different ways to do this. There's no right or wrong, right? You have to make it right or wrong for yourself. But I think that primarily, like, whether it's you've invested or you haven't invested, and you're like, the truth is the reason people don't get the results that they want is a lack of trust or belief in themselves to show up and do the work, to follow through, to believe that what they really want is possible. And so all of that like does stem back to money. So there's all these like emotional things around money, which I think a lot of people don't talk about, right, which is what I try to talk about, because there's shame, there's embarrassment, there's guilt, right? Like
lack of confidence, like fear.
Yeah, like I was talking yesterday to one of my clients about how, and we might get into this, like, you know, the stage of my life that I'm in, we're looking to buy a house, and I've gotten out of all my debt. I don't have any debt, right? I have lots of cash. I can't get credit. So I have a really poor credit score, and that's something that I still experience, like, shame, guilt, embarrassment around, like, with my partner, right? And so I think that there's tons of that that people aren't talking about, or that they're still embarrassed or feeling like they don't, no one can relate. Like, we all relate, right? Like, yeah, we've all been there. And so I think it's, like, having the trust in yourself, really being confident and vulnerable enough to share what's going on for you. And I try to instill that in my audience and my clients, but it does stem a lot from what Jen said about, like, because of the core, maybe it's not your partner or your husband, but it's yourself, like, not believing in yourself enough to know what you want or that you can actually do it, because you won't invest in yourself or you won't get the results that you want if you stay in non-belief, right?
Right. No, absolutely. Right. And Jody, what comes up with your clients, with your audience? I mean, I'm sure some of the same things, but is there anything else that comes up?
It was interesting what you said about beliefs too, because, and you know, Jen, you and I have talked about how, you know, everyone has money stories and they stem from our beliefs, you know, and I remember my own story when I had my corporate job. It was all about stability, paying off debt, getting rid of student loans, you know, paying off my car, you know, all my credit cards. And I got to a point where I was in my 20s and I was debt free and was building cash, you know, and I had good credit and all that was good. But when I took on my business, I took on a different belief system, because everything I was told and everything I started to believe told me that you go into debt and then you come back from debt. Mm. So I, after like cleaning up all of that, when I started my business, I started spending ridiculously, thinking that this is the way you do business, and it's not.
It doesn't
necessarily
have to be.
It doesn't have to be. It's one option. You know, so I have my own story around that, because I also coach business owners, and now I'm in a place where I'm like, I'm still cleaning it up, you know, and I'm coaching people on how to hit different levels of revenue in their business. And of course, there's that other story that goes on in my head, like, well, I didn't do this. You know, now I'm like preaching, don't do what I did, you know. And so, you know, in my own business, and I think especially as a coach, you have to manage your own stuff when you're helping other people with theirs too, and not put your story on them.
Oh yeah.
You know, and infuse it and buy into their stories and stuff like that. So sometimes you just have to listen from a place of holding a safe space, because it is scary for people to talk about money and to admit what their situation is, because it's so secret that we don't even know what the reality is.
Right.
You know, of what's common, what's not common, what we're all dealing with. I mean, if you're in the U.S., you can pretty much guarantee 9 out of 10 people you're talking to are in debt. You know, it's that common, but we're still too ashamed to talk about that. So providing that safe space where people can open up and be honest, because when you're honest about it and you look at reality, you can do something about it.
Right. And I like how you say it. You said something to the extent of that not putting your money story on them. And I think that that's so critical with everything. And I've seen it just recently, just a little side note, nothing to do with money, but with my son. He's a teenager. He's out in Europe right now. And of course, as a mom, I'm like freaking out at times, but it's all because I'm thinking to like how I grew up. And my husband's like, just the fear based of like, what, not that I was this bad kid. Like, trust me, I wasn't a bad kid, but what I seen, and I don't want that to happen to him. But my husband, he said basically the same thing. Yeah. Don't already put that story. He is his own individual person. And I know I'm digressing, but it just comes back to everything and your clients and your family life and your relationship, everything.
Yeah.
So I think that's important. So thanks for sharing that. So it was also incredible here is we have different stages in life. So Jen, you're just, not a newborn, but a baby, your first baby. And then Adrian's about to get married and Jody's a single, successful woman. I mean, you're all successful women. So I want to talk, Jen, let's start with you and tell me a little bit about at your stage of life of being married, having a newborn, what are some money challenges that you are facing?
Yeah. So I think probably just the biggest one overall is the change of income coming in because I'm working less. And so my income is a lot less than it was, 2 years ago. And even, maybe even for last year, it's halfway through the year, so we'll see. But, just that change of what I'm bringing in. And so for me, it's more of a, sometimes it feels weird to do things or spend money because I'm not bringing in the same amount as I used to before. And there's, I don't know that it would just, if that it's guilt, but I feel like I second guess or, question it. Do I need to buy this? Should I spend this money? Should we do this? Should we do that? And so that, it just is kind of a very different dynamic on it of, just not having a lot of extra expendable cash, like and doing things. But then we've done other things, like we just bought our first investment property, and so doing something like that when I've cut back on work is like such a great reminder that we're on the right path and we're making the right decisions. And I remind myself that me not doing what everyone else is doing is what's allowing us to live this way. What's allowing me to be at home with our baby, which is allowing us to still, be making investments and doing that and saving money to go on trips. But we're, we're choosing how we spend our money. We're not going, when you have a 7-month-old and you don't live near a lot of family, you don't go out to dinner every Friday and Saturday night like you did before you had a baby. So like, in that way, we're like, all that money is extra.
Yeah.
So it just, but just kind of seeing that I'm like the decisions that we're making and like money is going into different pots and there's a little bit less of it coming in, but we're still doing well. And so that's kind of where we are in the new baby world.
That's awesome. How about you, Adrian? I'm about to get married, looking for a house, all this excitement going on.
Yeah. So, for us, like I mentioned, we're in the process of trying to buy our first home together. We have a rental property now by default because we moved when we owned a property and we were hoping to sell it and we weren't able to sell it. And then we put some renters in there. So now we have our first rental property and we're trying to buy our first home. And as an entrepreneur, I've only been an entrepreneur for a year. So it's very different to try to get approved, even though I am the main breadwinner, which is also a big challenge in our relationship with like the energy, masculine energy that I bring anyways, because I have this like very masculine personality, very driven and ambitious. And that has been like a real challenge, not only that in terms of my personality, but then also in the finances. And then to start looking for a home, and really we need him to like have the sole income to get approved for that mortgage. And then my credit is bad because of I don't have any debt, right? I paid off all the debt, so now I have poor credit. And so, like, then all the shame and guilt comes up again. Like, oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that we can't get approved, like, as quickly or for the stuff that we want because of me. But I also bring the cash flow. So I'm like, I'll pay for the down payment, baby, you know. So, and then that emasculates
him.
That emasculates him even more sometimes, you know. So that's like a challenge for us even pre-marriage. So I'm like, yeah, we got to talk about this stuff, right? And so we try to like really bring money conversations. We're so open about our money. And that like we took Financial Peace University, Dave Ramsey's course, together before we were even engaged. We were like, we know that divorce happens like a lot of the time because of financial issues. So like, let's get on the same page to begin with, right? And so he is a huge help and support in my business, but also in my finances. And our finances are separate right now, but we obviously like we live in the same home already, and we don't like have hers and mine necessarily. But I can totally relate to what you're talking about, Jen, like with feeling guilty about spending certain amounts, because I know that he does. He's actually in that space where I'm like, no, we can afford that, or like we can do that trip. I'll pay for it. And I think it's like the, you know, making him feel less of a man every time that happens. And so I think that's the struggle in our household. And I think that that's a rising problem for women. So that's why I want to talk about that more, because I think it affects your sex life. I think it affects your relationship. And so it's something that I want people to talk about more. I want to talk about more, because people out there who are experiencing that, like, there's not something wrong with you, like, but you do need to talk about it, right? Like,
because money is hard to talk about in the begin with,
yeah,
and with a partner is hard to talk about. So if you're making more than your partner, that is definitely something that needs to be done, for sure.
And what Jody said earlier about like not putting your money story on someone else.
I love that.
So I've also learned that the way that you grew up seeing money, like that is what you're programmed to do. And chances are the two of you grew up very differently. And so trying to like merge that and figure that out and do that is so hard. Mm-hmm. Because my husband came from a place of always like, oh, we can't afford that. We can't afford that. And we didn't have a lot of money growing up, but it was just a different mindset, I think, or it was just that phrase wasn't used. And so I catch him often saying that, and it's like, actually, no, it's not that we can't afford it. It's that
we're choosing not to.
Right. Or you don't think that that's a value, so you don't want to do that. And so that's why you're saying, oh, we can't afford to do that, which like I would much rather you say like, oh, I don't find value in that, or I don't want to do that, versus, you know,
how can we afford that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't want Ellie growing up hearing all the time, like, oh, we can't afford that, because it's not the case. And like, we're setting her up for this mindset of like money, like scarcity, right? That's the right.
Yep.
Yeah.
And also for me, it was a savings hoarder, I call it. And I talk about that.
That's my fiance.
A complete savings hoarder. And I didn't enjoy life. So my husband came in, he was complete opposite. And he's like, well, we work to make money so we can spend it.
Right. Like, what's the point?
I'm like, what? I'm like, what? That was like a huge concept. I mean, besides the necessary living expenses, I was afraid to spend that money because I grew up that way.
Yeah.
We can't afford it. We can't afford it. So that was pre-programmed. So that's interesting.
And I'm also like the full-blown entrepreneur. Like, I'm like, oh, if I want to afford that, I'll just figure out how to go make the money. And my fiance is like, he's like your husband, Jed. He's like, we can't afford that. We can't afford that. And I'm like, well, I'll figure out how to afford. Like, I'll go earn it. You know, like
find the money.
Yeah. I'll go work and make the money, and then we'll be fine, right? Which is like, that's just me as an entrepreneur. I'm like so driven that way. So I believe that I can have anything that I want if I really value and want it.
Yeah, that's the key there. Yeah. If you value it, if you value it, you'll find a way to afford it.
Yeah.
Sometimes a good way, or sometimes you'll just throw your credit card out there, which I don't. I'm not
We're
saying
not
to
approving.
Do. We don't approve of that, but
yeah, it's so true. I had a woman ask me one time, if you walked out of this store and your car, all four tires were flat, where would you get the money? Because you have the money. you would find the money for four flat tires.
Yeah,
you know?
You'd figure
it out.
It's
exactly what you said. It's choices. It's like what you see the value in. Your car needs tires. You'll find the money for that. But something else might feel like a splurge. It might feel like I don't really need that. So you wouldn't spend the money on it. So I love how you put that, Jen. It's not that you can't afford it. You don't value it.
You just don't value it.
That is. That
and
is
I think
true.
It's like so interesting, like the conversations around how we grew up, because it's not just about like how we think about money, but then what we think our family will think of us or our friends will think of us.
Yes.
And that's like a big thing for my fiance too, because he grew up with no money. And that's like been a big fear, scarcity mindset for him. But also like, well, what will his mom or his family or the people that he knows from college think about him when we make millions of dollars, right? Like that is like a whole mind shift for people. Like, oh my God, like what are they going to think of us? Because we're those people now, right? And that's like a total mindset like shift as well, to start thinking about how you think about becoming wealthy or earning more money, because no one's like afraid of success, right? Like we're afraid of what people will think of us when we achieve that success.
Right. Yeah. Right. No, that's awesome. Now, Jody, I really am excited to hear what you have to say, mm-hmm. being a single woman, because I have questions from single women, but I can't relate to that. I was only a single woman so much independently before I went ahead and got married.
Right.
So you're an entrepreneur. You're self-reliant on yourself to bring the income. So what kind of challenge do you have?
Yeah.
With money as a single woman?
It's a little bit different because it's a single income, right? Regardless of whether it would be more or less than a partner, it's still only a single income. But there are pluses and minuses to that, because you also get to make all the decisions. I don't have to check in with anybody to decide on how the money is going to
get spent. You can't use that as an excuse,
no,
right?
No,
you're like, I value this. We're going to buy it.
Yeah, let me go ask my wait. It's just me. Sorry.
I want that.
You know, but that can be a stressor too. Like all the decisions are on you. Like, so. And so are the consequences of those decisions where, you know, I had this practice, but I got rid of it because I was like, oh, this isn't really serving me well, where I would I documented all my, you know, expenditures and money coming in. But I would also, I had a special column for like, and I think at the top, I labeled the column like dumb, you know, like those dumb decisions, like I bought something and it wasn't as valuable as I thought it was going to be, or I didn't need it.
Dave Ramsey calls that the stupid tax.
Yeah, stupid tax. Exactly. You know, and now I just try to learn the lesson from it without that punishing column staring me in the face. But sometimes I want to be reminded to stop and think before I make a money decision, you know. And so to counteract some of that, to take some of the pressure off, is I surround myself and consult with people who are really smart about money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't feel like I have to make, like, ultimately the decision is mine and the consequences are mine, mm-hmm. but I will consult people who know a lot more about money than I do before I make a decision. And I'm not just talking about my mom and dad. Like, I'm talking about financial planners, people who are in the insurance, you know, people who are all about safety versus risk and what are the consequences of some of the decisions. And, you know, there's, you know, we're going back to like childhood upbringing, because I grew up very poor, and I'm very cognizant that that mindset sometimes is still with me, and it's hard to get around it. And people who have money think about money very differently than people who are poor. You know, and it's not just abundance versus lack. There are strategies that are different,
right?
You know, and some of your strategies, if you grew up in a poor family, will hold you back from really leveraging the money that you have available. So I'm trying to be wiser about money, not just saving it, but earning it in new ways that I hadn't thought of before. You know, really leaning into that entrepreneurial side of myself. And also just as a woman and an entrepreneur, asking for the sale.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That is killer sometimes, mm-hmm. you know. And I've really come to know that it's really, for me, it's about being mission-driven and coming from a place of service. Like, I recognize you have this need. I realize that you're in pain. Where do you want to be instead? And can I help you with that? You know, can I help you with that? Because I'm here to help you. I'm not here to push you or force you into any decision that's not comfortable. I'm here to be of service to you.
And knowing that your service is worth money.
Oh, yeah.
Because I think that that's like where a lot of women go. They're like,
yeah.
She's not looking at me.
Yeah, they're like, you know, oh, why should I get paid for this? I can do it for you for free. It would be so nice for me to help you. And it's like,
because we're wired. Like, if we were living in a village and nobody got paid anything, you would just give and give and give, and that would be just you playing your role.
Yep.
But we have to change that mindset. We're not living in villages anymore. You survive in this village by exchanging money with people, money for services. You pay people for their services. People pay you for your services.
Right.
That's how we all, like, live in community. So it's another, like, we have these, like, old mindsets from, like, 200 years ago that just aren't relevant today, in today's economy. And as women and as earners now and as more women become entrepreneurs and even as more women are breaking into higher levels of
leadership,
the corporate and leadership, have to realize that they bring a ton of value. Like, one of the books I'm reading right now is Women Don't Ask. And, like, it is... It wasn't easy to get through the first part of the book. In fact, I had to switch from reading it to the audiobook because I needed to just power through it, you know, because it was so hard to listen to opportunity after opportunity after opportunity lost because the women whose stories were shared just didn't think to ask for things. Like, we're waiting for people to say, you did a good job, here's what you've earned.
Right.
You know, that's not the way the economy works. We have to speak up for ourselves. We have to ask for it.
Right. And this brings, and I know you're talking from an entrepreneurial perspective, but also in the corporate world, you can't be afraid to ask. Or also in this day and age where side hustles are becoming a big thing, you can't, I mean, especially if you're looking for a way to generate more income, you can't be afraid to ask it and get out there. So I'm glad you brought that up. So this has been fabulous, ladies. I want to wrap it up. I know people ask me all the time about money tools, and I'm just a simple spreadsheet girl and my bank app, USAA. I love them, and that's pretty much it. So is there a particular tool that you use, Jen, or are you like me?
No, I'm like you, and I will say, I'll go even more so to say that it's my husband. Like, we recently switched that role. I think we talked about that on the show. I kind of did all the finances and stuff for a long while, and because my husband's in the Navy, so he was gone a lot, and so it just made more sense. I was like, I need to know what's going on all the time and all the details. And so last year, right after I got pregnant, I was really sick, and I just was like, I don't even want to, like, think about this right now. And he was like, I really want to take that over. And so it was just kind of the perfect timing. And so he is, he kind of does all of that. And what we do, we're both a paper and pen kind of person. It's just, it feels good to write it down. But he gets paid twice a month. So every 2 weeks, he does the budget and we sit down and we go over it and we talk about things. And it's like, here's the things that I know are coming up that I have to spend money on. He'll say, here's what I have coming up that I need to spend money on. And we'll be like, oh yeah, remember we're supposed to go do this next month. And so even though he's kind of doing all the things, we're talking about it all the time. And the more you talk about it, not that it just becomes easier overnight, but, like, you kind of realize the fights, you can stop them because you know what road you're going down. And so just the more you talk about it, it's just like I think you just become more comfortable saying, like, here, not asking, hey, can I go get a haircut? It's like, hey, I have a haircut appointment in 2 weeks. Like, let's budget that in. Like, hey, you are going to go do this with the guys. Like, budget in golf money. Like, just
does
stuff
like
that.
Does uniform come up? I had this conversation with Jody. Does it come up quite often?
The uniform?
The uniform's replacing the uniform. I'm digressing here. I'm just curious.
No, you know, because my husband is, like, he's very, very type A. So he just, like, he knows when he's going to need one. And so he'll take, like, $25 from this paycheck, $25 from this paycheck. And then
how much do these uniforms cost?
Oh, my gosh. Let's not talk about that.
Some of them, like, the
too much.
Our basic, like, his basic one that he, like, wears most every day, like, a full set with, like, everything sewn on is just over $100. But some of the other ones, the dress ones, we're talking, like, $500-$600. And there are certain times when you make rank that you have to wear a new uniform. So you have to go buy a new $400 jacket.
Yeah.
But... see, I look at it as I used to work in the corporate
world. So if you were buying suits,
exactly,
you would have to spend that anyways.
Yeah. So I I look at it that way.
I totally agree.
Sorry, I digressed. I was just curious. For another time.
In the budget line.
For another time.
There we go. But no, there is a uniform budget line.
Yes.
So
we've had that too. We've had to definitely add that.
Yep.
Oh my goodness. Adrian, money tools.
Money tools. I am also super simple. I love Simple Bank. So if you use simple.com.
Someone just asked me about that.
Simple is a very cool tool. I also use Mint, which I think is like, you know, simple. It's just very simple budgeting tools that does it, like helps you expense stuff very automatically, put it into the different categories just so you can see it. And we also use just like Google spreadsheets so that like we're both shared, me and my fiance, on that. So he can add to it. I can add to it. We can always pop in and look and see what's going on. And that's for my business finances as well, which I use Wave Accounting.
I was just going to say, okay, I do use Wave for business. Yeah, I do have that.
So if you're a business owner out there, a small business owner, you can do lots of your own accounting on Wave. And you know, even if you use a CPA when it comes time for taxes, it'll be in much better order because I think that a lot of entrepreneurs don't separate, like, especially solopreneurs, they like don't separate their business from their personal, which is like a huge disaster.
Yeah.
Like, pay yourself as if you were an employee of your business, right? I always tell people, like, adriandorson.com is very different than Adrian Dorson, and adriandorson.com doesn't spend, or Adrian Dorson doesn't spend all of adriandorson.com's money.
Right.
You know, like, adriandorson.com has her own money. That business is a business, and so like using the Wave and then paying yourself out of that, and yeah, we just use simple things like Simple and then Mint.
Perfect. And how about you, Jody?
Yeah. I would say nothing has been more effective for me than an Excel spreadsheet. I think you can put as much detail as you want into it, and it's easy to use. But if people are not, you know, spreadsheet people, I know not everyone is. I love me some spreadsheets, but not for everyone. But in my business, I'll use QuickBooks because I have all of my credit cards, my bank accounts all tied in. They automatically go in, and I just code them, and then it remembers what everything is, and I just approve everything as it's coming in, and when tax season comes around, it's easy to just hand over to my tax person, but ditto on the tools that, that they've recommended too. But I mean, when it comes to it, spreadsheets for me are like,
I'm right there
with
you.
If you're down with that, there's nothing better. You can create it how you want it.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. This has been wonderful. Just, I love hearing from all the three of you. It's been fabulous. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Thanks for having us.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks for being on.
Thank you.
So what did you think? Those ladies, Jen, Adrian, and Jody, were just so amazing, so transparent. We had some great talks, but I want to hear your thoughts. Did you agree on some of those things, or maybe have some other perspective that you would love to share? Because I want to hear that from you. And if you do have it, share it in the Facebook group. If you're not in the Facebook group, join us at jenhemphill.com/community. Here's the thing. In there, we have money conversations, and I know money can be hard to talk about, but the Facebook group will help you have those money conversations because we're all in it. We have that same interest in bettering our relationship with our money and managing our money better. So you're going to be surrounded with like-minded people. And once you start having those money conversations and becoming more comfortable, you're going to become more confident. Once you become more confident, it's going to propel you into action. And once that you're propelled into action, guess what? You're going to be achieving more amazing things with your money. So I hope that you join me in there if you're not already in there. So in today's show notes that you can find at jenhemphill.com/justladies, I will be sure to include where to find Jen, Adrian, and Jody, because I know, as I think they're amazing, and I'm sure that you think they are amazing. So that way you can connect with them, learn more about them, see what they're up to. So they're definitely inspiring ladies. So I want to take a moment to thank you for joining me in this bonus episode, and I will see you again Thursday for our next regularly scheduled episode. Take care, and I'll talk to you then.